Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
Stand and join us in singing hymn number 608.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name, for you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the seas with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stopped. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you." See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way. Through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. In honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet as well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
In the story of Job, Job is overwhelmed by everything that he has experienced. He is overwhelmed by his grief and the death of his children. He's overwhelmed by his physical ailments. He's overwhelmed by all of it. And as a result of that sense of feeling overwhelmed by all that has happened to him, Job begins to ask God to show up and explain it. And in fact, he goes so far as to suggest to God that they might have a trial together so that God could present evidence and he could prove his innocence. Now, while he's talking to God about all of this, his friends are chattering away about how he shouldn't be demanding that God be present. And one of the interesting dynamics of the book of Job is that Job talks to God, but the friends, the so-called friends, only talk about God. And they never actually talk to God. And so Job is saying to God, "Come here, I want you to be here, I want you to talk to me, I want you to explain it to me, I want you to show up." And the friends keep talking about God being higher and higher and higher up and farther and farther and farther away. And what happens in the story is that God answers Job's prayer. And God shows up. God shows up. And God even tells the friends they were wrong. And what God does is show up in all of God's transcendent glory. And one way that you can look at the story of Job is that God shows up in all of God's bigness and makes Job feel really small, and everyone else too. But what God does when God shows up is essentially overwhelm Job's overwhelm. God overwhelms Job's overwhelm. And that is a marvelous reassurance, isn't it? That no matter what overwhelms us, God could overwhelm that. It's very reassuring. It's helpful to know that God could overwhelm our overwhelm. It's important for us to know that. In the gospel that we heard today, one of the dynamics that happens in that gospel is everything being big. And where you see great, and the translators translate the calm as dead calm, and you see they were filled with great awe. All of those, in Greek, it's the root word for our prefix mega. Right? Like the TV shows on the Sci-Fi Channel, mega storm. Right? So the beginning happens is Jesus is teaching from a boat because there's such a big crowd on the shore. And they finish the day, he finishes his teaching, And he says to his disciples, let's go across the lake. Now, it doesn't say why he wanted to go at night. It would have been safer to sleep and get up in the morning and go across the lake. But for some reason, whatever reason, Jesus wanted to go across the lake at night. And he's asleep in the bottom of the boat, and this mega storm shows up. And the waves are sloshing, and the wind is blowing, and the disciples get overwhelmed. And they go down into the berth of the ship, and Jesus is sleeping. Now, there's an interesting image. It calls to mind the creation story in the first chapter of Genesis, where we read that the Spirit hovers sort of peacefully over the deep and the formless void, says our English translations. This is one of those places where translations aren't good enough. The Hebrew phrase, one of my favorite Hebrew phrases, is tovu vabohu. Isn't that fun sounding? Tovu vabohu. And it's actually could be translated and is well translated, in my opinion, wild and waste. The earth was wild and waste, and the Spirit hovered over it. I'm such a geek, I found a t-shirt that said Tovu Vavohu on it and bought it, right? So that this idea is mirrored in the story, right? The lake is wild and waste, and the boat is being tossed, and Jesus is sleeping, peacefully sleeping. So there's a creation image happening there, and they get Jesus to wake up, and they say, ah! And Jesus says to the wind and the waves, peace be still. And then there was a mega calm. So you get in this language, in the story, the drama, the overwhelm, the over the top. It's almost like a story of melodrama. This mega storm leads to this mega calm as Jesus overwhelms the storm and overwhelms the wild and wastiness of it. And he says to his followers, don't you have enough faith, guys? And they are filled with, you guessed it, mega awe at his ability to overwhelm their overwhelm. I like that idea. I find that very comforting and very encouraging that God can overwhelm my overwhelm. That's useful, helpful to know that. It's also interesting that this message gets communicated by Mark in a story about the water, the waves, the sea. It's International Seafarer's Day. A day to remember our merchant marine, to remember that 90% of the goods that we use at some point or another end up on a ship in the sea or one of our great rivers on their way to us. 90%. If it weren't for the merchant marine, our economy would fall apart. And one of the things that I think is really cool about the Episcopal Church is the Seamen's Church Institute. 3 years before St. Luke's was founded in 1837, in 1834, the Seamen's Church Institute was founded. In a really cool move, they built a church on a barge. They called it the Floating Church. And people would go, the mariners would go there to go to church, and people from around New York would go there just to see the oddity of a floating church. And they got caught up into supporting that ministry. And over all of those years, the Seamen Church Institute has given pastoral care education, and advocacy for people who spend a big chunk of their life on the ocean and the great rivers, where life gets overwhelming really quickly. Our Knitters Guild knits watch caps and scarves to send to the Siemens Church Institute, as do knitters groups from churches all over the country. And in the winter, when those merchant marine are stuck serving on a ship at Christmas time, Siemens Church Institute shows up handing out nice warm watch caps and scarves to try to lessen that sense of overwhelm. One of the hardest and most overwhelming things about being out on a ship at sea is not being able to get home when you get word that your family is in crisis. And Siemens Church Institute works to provide pastoral care for overwhelmed mariners, as well as opportunities for them to connect with their family, helps them overwhelm the overwhelm. Much the same happens in terms of law and advocacy with the Church Institute. Several years ago now, there was a ship captured off of Nigeria, and the crew was being held captive, and the Nigerian government kept trying to solve the problem, and they couldn't. And the family of the mariners contacted the UN. The UN wasn't sure what to do, and they called Siemens Church Institute. Siemens Church Institute went and negotiated the release of those mariners so they could get home to their families. Just last year, they held a board, a giant board, and they had mariners and Siemens Church Institute folks and people from the ship owners all together to talk about suicide among mariners. As you may have heard in the news, the rate of suicide in our country is going up. People are feeling overwhelmed. Happens with mariners too. And Siemens Church Institute developed a program to educate mariners and company owners and others about how to recognize signs and symptoms and intervene helpfully. I think it's so cool that we do stuff like that. I just love that. It's about the overwhelm. What Siemens Church Institute does is what we do when we give out diapers. Yesterday we got 20,000 diapers. Donna organized with Ashley?
Yeah.
Allie. Donna organized with the director of the diaper bank to receive 20,000 diapers yesterday. We help parents who are overwhelmed with those diapers. We help people overwhelmed by their homelessness through Partners in Housing Transition. We help people trying to get a job and feeling overwhelmed by life with an interview suit from the thrift shop. We help people so overwhelmed they can't find food through Loaves and Fishes. All of those things are an extension of God's ability and God's ability in Christ to overwhelm our overwhelm. And the Siemens Church Institute is an example of that work at a really large global scale, which they have done. Their annual report is in the community room if you want to look at it. It looks like they were last year 35% down in their giving and grants. That's something that's happening across the world too. There's less money for agencies doing good work, because economically, people are feeling overwhelmed. Many things on the news, when you turn it on, feel overwhelming. There's a lot of overwhelm in our world. And it behooves us to remember the image of Christ overwhelming the storm. It helps us to remember that God can overwhelm our overwhelms, and then it helps us to go forth, as we do so often from this place, in service, putting in action the spirituality of Christ, who overwhelms our overwhelm.
As you are able, please stand and face east, the direction of sunrise and the symbol of the resurrection, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became a true human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God.
For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
We pray for Donald, our president, and for the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We pray for Stephen, Courtney, James, Joe, Nathan, and Sarah, who serve in our armed forces, and for all people everywhere.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the improvement of our societies, our natural environment, and our hearts.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
We pray for those who are addicted and those in recovery. We pray for the sick and those in need, especially Mike, James, Stephen, Carol, Jessica, Helen, Ken, Ruthie, George, Hope, Harlan, Jennifer, Charlotte, Dan, Christine, Ken, Pam, Ron, Cliff, Carol, Mary, Caitlin, Dorothy, and Carolyn. We pray for victims of natural disaster.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
for the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel, and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, and Wayne, our bishop. For Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation. For all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and the Church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, praying especially for Kalamazoo, Portage, and surrounding communities, for the vibrancy of our witness to Christ's love, and for the courage and capacity to serve in Christ's name.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, for those who are celebrating birthdays, James, Addie, Ken, Craig, Art, Ella, Aubrey, and Aaron. For those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, Carol and Scott, Kristen and Michael, Norma and James, Anne and Michael, Martha and Christopher, Julia and Richard, and Julie and Jason. For those who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Kristen and Reed.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom, remembering especially Albert, George, Kim, Donald, Roberto, and Antoine.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Put their trust in you.
Loving Jesus, protect and sustain us with your hand. Open the door of your love, that sealed with your wisdom, we may be free to serve you with joy.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways.
Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in everlasting life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge the divine name. But do not forget to do good and to share what you have, for such offerings are pleasing to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Deliver us from the power of sin and death, and to reveal the riches of your grace, you looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, as supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Amen.
David and Tomio, in the name of this congregation, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the things that spiritual people do is say goodbye. There's a reason that the scriptures say that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. To be truly the spiritual human beings that we are, we have to look into those things. Last week, I believe it was last week or the week before, was Walter and Maria Augustin's last Sunday with us. They didn't want to have a public goodbye. But Walter and Maria have moved back to England to be close to Walter's family, and we will all miss them very, very much. This week is the last Sunday for our friends, and my brain has just gone blank. I hate it when that happens.
Jeremy
and Sarah, come on forward. They tell me it only gets worse. That's the part that's scary. part of it is I've been in denial about these two leaving. These are two excellent, excellent scholars of religion and history.
Amen.
And they have an amazing teaching ministry ahead of them. We can be proud of the fact that two folks connected with St. Luke's are going out there in the world to teach young adults about the importance of history and faith and politics and action and all kinds of good stuff. So I want us to bid them a fond farewell and to be excited for them about their future, even as we're grieving the fact that we're saying goodbye. So. Jeremy and Sarah, may God bless you in your ministry in the days to come. May God grant you bright students that want to soak up every word you have to say. And may your impact for Christ on our world spread far and wide. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless and keep you both today and always. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes, indeed overwhelms all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
in peace to love and serve the Lord.